Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, Chapter 3, Karma Yoga, Text Number 30. Mayi sarvani karmani sanyasya dhyatma chetasa. Oh, everyone has books. Mayi sarvani
karmani
sanyasya adhyatma chetasa nirashir nirmamo bhutva yudhyasva vigata vara. Mayi sarvani karmani sanyasya dhyatma chetasa nirashir nirmamo bhutva yudhyasva vigata dvara. Mayi sarvani karmani sanyasya dhatma chetasa nirashir nirmavo bhutva yudhyasva vigata dvara. Mayi, unto me, sarvani, all sorts of karmani, activities, sannyasya, giving up completely, adhyatma, with full knowledge of the self, chetasa, by consciousness, nirashiri, without desire for profit, niyamama, without ownership, bhutva, being so, or so being, yudhyasva, fight, vigata dvara, without being lethargic. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Therefore, O Arjuna, surrendering all your works unto me, with full knowledge of me, without desires for profit, with no claims to proprietorship, and free from lethargy, fight. Purport. This verse clearly indicates the purpose of the Bhagavad Gita. The Lord instructs that one has to become fully Krishna conscious to discharge duties as if in a military discipline. Such an injunction may make things a little difficult. Nonetheless, duties must be carried out with dependence on Krishna, because that is the constitutional position of the living entity. The living entity cannot be happy independent of the cooperation of the Supreme Lord, because the eternal constitutional position of the living entity is to become subordinate to the desires of the Lord. Arjuna is therefore ordered by Sri Krishna to fight as if the Lord were his military commander. One has to sacrifice everything for the goodwill of the Supreme Lord, at the same time discharge prescribed duties without claiming proprietorship. Arjuna did not have to consider the order of the Lord, he had only to execute his order. The Supreme Lord is the soul of all souls, therefore one who depends solely and wholly on the Supreme Soul, without personal consideration, or in other words, one who is fully Krishna conscious, is called Adhyatma Chetas. Nirashi means that one has to act on the order of the Master, but should not expect fruit of results. The cashier may count millions of dollars for his employer, but he does not claim a cent for himself. Similarly, one has to realize that nothing in the world belongs to any individual person, but that everything belongs to the Supreme Lord. That is the real purport of Mayi, or unto me. And when one acts in such Krishna consciousness, certainly he does not claim proprietorship over anything. This consciousness is called Niramama, or nothing is mine. And if there is any reluctance to execute such a stern order, which is without consideration of so-called kinsmen and the bodily relationship, that reluctance should be thrown off. In this way one may become Vigata Dvara, or without feverish mentality or lethargy. Everyone, according to his quality and position, has a particular type of work to discharge, and all such duties may be discharged in Krishna consciousness as described above. That will lead one to the path of liberation. Mayi sarvani karmani sanyati adhyatma chetasa che nirashir nirvo bhutva dhyudyaspa vigata dhura. Therefore, O Arjuna, surrendering all your works unto me, with full knowledge of me, without desires for profit, with no claims for proprietorship, and free from lethargy, fight. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutai Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Dhanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Pacharne Nirvisesa Shunyavadi Paskatya De Sutarne. Prabhupada says that this is the purpose of the Bhagavad Gita, that one has to discharge duties in Krishna consciousness as if in a military discipline. Of course, when we hear this, it doesn't sound very appealing, especially for those who are not very interested, don't have much interest in the military. But this explains that as if in a military discipline, because that is our constitutional position, and that is the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Later on in the Bhagavad Gita, throughout the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna repeats the same message, Mayi Sarvani Karmani. He says, Chaitasya Sarva Karmani, Mayi Sanyasya Matparaha, Buddhiyo Gama Pashitya, Mach Chitak Satatam Bhava. That in all activities and for the results just depend upon me. Because we should depend upon Krishna, because he knows everything. And we're constantly asking questions. Every living entity, before he does something, is always wondering, what should I do? So, we have a choice. Either we can depend upon Krishna and do what Krishna wants, or we can take shelter of Maya and do what Maya thinks we should do. Therefore, the living entity is always dependent. He's never independent. He can choose what to whom he becomes dependent on. And the choice is Maya or Krishna. Therefore, it's recommended by Krishna that we should surrender to him. Because he knows everything, and therefore he knows what is the best interest of the living entity and all other beings also, of all living beings. Because sarvasya jaham riddhi sanivishto matak smritir gyanam aponam cha vedeshu. What's that? Dedeshu sarveshu. No, it's not your idea. Dedaham samatitani vartamanarni cha origina pavishani tibhutani mamtu vedana kaschana. As the Supreme Personality of Godhead, O Arjuna, I know everything that has happened in the past, everything happening in the present, and all things that are yet to come. I also know all living beings, but me no one knows. So Krishna has everything perfectly memorized. In the past, present, and future, he knows everything. Therefore, he's the best person to inquire from what we should do, because he knows exactly what we should do. And if we're fortunate enough to hear from him, either through Bhagavad Gita or through the representative of Krishna, then the result is that we can also know exactly what to do. And when we find out what to do, then we should do it. Therefore, it's understood that the order of the spiritual master should be carried out, but it should be carried out with understanding. Although it says in full surrender here, without hesitation, we should also understand what the spiritual master is saying. But of course, after understanding it, then we should do it. Not that I've understood it and now I have to make a decision whether I want to do it or not. That is not surrender. Because Krishna also says, He advised us to surrender Mahisarvani Karmani or Chetasasarva Karmani Mahisanyasya Matparaha Ananyaneva Chetasasarva Karmani Mahisanyasya Matparaha Buriyogam Upashitya Mach Chitak Satatam Bhava Mach Chitak Sarva Dorogani Mach Prasada Tarishasi Atachit Twamahankaram Nashoshisi Vinangshasi. Because if you do not act according to my direction, Krishna says, or if you do, he says, Mach Chitak Sarva Dorogani, if you act according to my directions, you'll overcome all the different obstacles that are in front of you. And you'll get my mercy. But if you don't act by my direction, but act through false ego, not hearing me, then vinangshasi. Then you'll be lost. You'll be into the material modes of nature. So basically, one has to act according to Krishna's direction, or according to the direction of the representative of Krishna, so one can be in Krishna consciousness, have Krishna's association. If one surrenders to Krishna in the proper mood, and that proper mood is explained here, knowing Krishna perfectly well, what he wants, who he is, etc. That is, we have to cultivate knowledge about Krishna. We have to work for Krishna. And we can't expect profit or to becoming the proprietorship. We shouldn't claim that I'm the proprietor of this body or that so many things are mine here and therefore I want more, I should get some reward. Without any claims for proprietorship or desires for profit, one has to recognize Krishna as being the ultimate proprietor of everything and simply accept what Krishna gives one. And at the same time, one should not think, well, if I can't make any profit and I can't be the proprietorship, then I won't do anything. One also has to be free from lethargy, from the mode of ignorance. So one has to link his consciousness up with the super soul by a proper cultivation of knowledge, and when he becomes aware of the super soul, act for him, and this way one becomes more and more advanced in Krishna consciousness. But if one doesn't want to do that, if he doesn't want to understand the truth, his relationship with Krishna, he doesn't want to really know how to act, then vinangshasi, then he'll be lost in the modes of material nature. The false ego is always trying to discourage the living entity from surrendering. So, by proper intelligence, one can reason how to surrender, why to surrender. And then when one has understood things clearly, then it's his duty to surrender. Not that he should call his, after using his intelligence, he figures better not to surrender. Better simply to be an outlaw and fight against the modes of nature. Try and overcome the modes of nature by our scientific advancement. And that way we can be happy. That's the present situation in the material world. The human beings have decided that previously in the dark ages, people were surrendering. So now we're going to revolt and not surrender. We're going to try and conquer over the material energy. We're going to cross out God. And we're going to become God ourselves. So this is the age of so-called, as Rabindranath was pointing out, this is the age of enlightenment. The darkest ages, when black is white and white is black. But we can see so-called scientists, they promised that by man's own intelligence and endeavor, he'd be able to conquer the modes of nature, free us from birth, death, old age, and disease. Make us all happy, eradicate all kinds of social ills, and we can see what a wonderful job they've done. How now all the air is clean, the water is all fresh, the food is all delicious, and people are all happy and living in harmony. There's no more discrimination. So these wonderful scientific advancements have cut out all the noise. People are not anxiety. Everyone's engaged properly. So by scientific advancement, all these wonderful things have happened. And we can expect more of the same thing in the future. Only 100 times worse. So by the more scientifically advanced things have become in a practical way, the more people have tried to defy and conquer the laws of nature, then the more things have deteriorated, and the quicker people are becoming degraded. The quicker science advances, the quicker everything becomes disturbed and degenerates. Therefore, the alternative is to use our intelligence and see whether or not, if something is perfectly arranged already, if something is created by a perfect being, then anything we do to it makes it less perfect. If you have a nice clock made by a very expert watchman, and you decide, well, I don't really like a few of those screws in the back. They don't go with my interior design. I think I'll take out a few of the screws and throw them away. Make it a better clock. We've got to be creative. Or tack in a few extra screws somewhere. But obviously the clock won't work as well because it's already been perfectly designed. So man puffed up with his inflated by his false ego, puffed up by his false ego, has tried to make a better arrangement in the material world than God has already made, and the result is that things simply get worse and worse and worse. The more they try and make so-called better arrangements, the worse things become. So fortunately, at least some people have woken up, and they can see that not only are the scientists wasting our time, but they're actually creating great disturbances within the social order, within the natural order. So many different things they're creating disturbances in that they would have been better off leaving alone. Therefore, one should try to understand what Krishna's goal is, what Krishna wants us to do. If he didn't want us to tinker with natural laws of nature, he must have wanted us to do something else. And this is explained here, that we should act for him. How to act, what Krishna wants us to do under different circumstances, that can be understood by the spiritual master of the disciple succession, who can understand Krishna's desires. So in this age especially, our disciple succession has enthused the followers to try and preach, to glorify Krishna, and spread Krishna consciousness to those people who don't know. Inform people about what the laws of nature are, inform people about Krishna, inform people about our identity, inform people so they can stop their negative activities and they can begin positive activities by which they can become liberated and eventually fulfill the real goal of life, which is to get out of material entanglement and to go back to the spiritual world. Otherwise, we're just like a bunch of prisoners locked up in a cell making a lot of noise, taking the tin can and scratching it over the bars and thinking we're making, you know, doing something very nice. But we should stop acting, the conditioned soul within the material world should stop trying to protest the fact that he's in prison, and he should simply do those activities which will actually take him out of the prison, not try and break out of it by some, you know, with his tin can scratching it over the bars. He should get out of the prison by becoming a good citizen, obeying the laws of the state and following the orders of the governor. And when the governor sees that the prisoner is reformed, then he'll let him out of the prison. So we should find out what we're doing wrong, and here it mentions especially this attachment to being the proprietor and expecting results from what we're doing, and not wanting to work according to Krishna's direction, wanting to imagine ourselves independent by acting in illusion according to the directions of this body and mind. So the whole process lies in understanding this philosophy, accepting the bona fide representative of Krishna, trying to understand Krishna through Shastra, his desires, with the help of Guru and Sadhu, and then being willing to fight for Krishna's interest as if in a military discipline, without expecting to get something material in return, without expecting that this is mine, I have something hidden here for me, this is, and I'll give a little bit to Krishna. No, without any idea that anything belongs to us at all, and without expecting anything in the future to belong to us, knowing well that in the past everything belonged to Krishna, at the present everything actually belongs to Krishna, and in the future everything will also belong to Krishna. So one should not be attached to this idea of proprietorship. One should simply accept himself as servant of Krishna, act as Krishna's servant without any material consciousness. But we have to use our intelligence to understand what is Krishna's order, what is his instructions. It's not so difficult. But if we simply accept it and then act for Krishna in full consciousness of him, then we'll be very satisfied. By acting for Krishna and thinking of Krishna, then eventually we can enter into Krishna consciousness, and by in that consciousness, the soul can actually feel bliss and be fully illuminated perpetually, perpetually increasing his happiness and his understanding of things. And outside of Krishna consciousness, he'll perpetually remain in darkness, and generally he'll simply go deeper into darkness, especially in this age. People are suffering now, and if they don't take the Krishna consciousness, then they'll suffer more and more and more. Till eventually Prabhupada points out that there won't be any food. People think, well, we won't perform any sacrifice. Well, then there won't be any rain. And there won't be any food either. You can eat the pictures of all the nice things that the scientists promise you in the future. So this is indicated here, and we'll stop here. Thank you very much. Are there any questions? Therefore, we shouldn't worry so much about how unhappy we are. We should try and get the higher taste. Fix the mind on Krishna. This is just another attachment. Whether we're in happiness or in distress, that we shouldn't worry about so much. We should just strive to understand what is Krishna's desire that I do right now and try and do that. Forget about the past that sleeps, nor does the future dream. But live in times that are thee now, and progress thee will call. So one should constantly just practice meditating on Krishna's desire. And then by trying to fulfill that desire, then one will naturally think of Krishna. And therefore be able to associate with Krishna more and more consistently and more intensely, deeply. And therefore increase his devotional service. One should know that there's no happiness beyond Krishna consciousness, meditating on Krishna and acting for him. Yeah. At least if we chant Hare Krishna, there'll be some rain. As far as how many people will be saved, some people will be saved. Oh, that's not possible. Right now, so many people are dying, going to hell. Just like the Coast Guard, or they can go out and see so many people are drowning. Throw so many life rafts. But if people don't want to take them, then what can we do? In any case, if people don't accept Krishna, they accept Krishna's servant. And she'll encourage them to eventually accept Krishna. We're not saving anyone. We're simply acting as Krishna's instrument. It's Krishna who's saving people. We should worry most of all about saving ourselves. And saving ourselves means that we should try and act as Krishna's instrument to save others. There are many people who will be saved. And if you like, just like Prahlad Maharaj said, then I don't want to go back to the spiritual world. I'm going to stay here until all the living entities go back. So we can do that too. Although it may take a long time. In any case, one who becomes very attached to serving the mission of bringing the living entities back to the spiritual world, he's already himself back in the spiritual world. So even if he remains here to save the other living entities, he's actually in the spiritual world already. So there's no loss. But in another sense, we don't have to worry. It's Krishna's mission to save the world. And he's perfectly capable of doing it. And he's very patient also. But he doesn't interfere with the free will of the living entities. And nor can we. Even when Krishna comes here personally, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself with his Leela, many people think, oh, who is this Krishna? What can he do more than me? Even Krishna in his all-attractive form comes, and even he comes as his all-attractive devotee, and people don't become attracted. So, even they criticize Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Krishna. So what to speak of ourselves? How much attractive are we compared to them? So how can we expect to save the whole world? But we can save many people, because if we act sincerely. Yes. Yeah. Well, because Krishna consciousness is very potent. We can see such a small number of devotees and how much it affects so many people. Sometimes people think the devotees are everywhere. There are millions of us. All pervading. There's only a handful. Because there's so much potency. Because we represent Krishna to some degree. So it doesn't take that many people to make a big effect on the world. Who are sincerely engaged in devotional service.
I'm also conditioned to think of why it's hard for me question for you.
Why is Krishna's energy? Ultimately, it's Krishna's directing everything. But he sees what we want. So as far as whether Maya is the person, at least Krishna is the person. Krishna is supplying us with his material energy or with the spiritual energy as we're desiring. And deserving as he sees fit. In any case, Maya acts quite a bit like a person. She talks to us. She kicks us. She does everything a person would normally do. Anything else? Yeah. Who's that? Oh, you mean if one... Oh, that depends. I can't really say. Generally, everyone gets what they really deserve. But somehow or another, if you contribute to helping someone go back to Godhead, you get a lot of mercy. Exactly whether they go back to the spiritual world or not, that I can't really say. But you get benefit. If your descendant goes back to the spiritual world. Or even if they make some progress. Just like if you have a mother and father and they think, oh, my son has joined the Hare Krishna movement, that rascal child, you know, now he's with the Krishnas all the time. So all the time they'll think of Krishna. So that's positive. Of course, that type of thinking won't bring one to Goloka Vrindavan, but at least he'll free one from all kinds of sinful activities and bring one closer to liberation. Now, maybe someone's thinking a little positive, so that's also very good. But anyhow, anyone who associates with Krishna becomes purified. How purified they become, well, that depends on their mentality, mostly. And their association, their previous activities, their desires. Not that, you know, my descendant has become a pure devotee, but I really want to stay here in the material world, but somehow or another they're dragging me back to the spiritual one. But I really want to enjoy here. No, it's more practical than that. We have to voluntarily want to go back there, at least. Yeah, Maya is a person. But for you to realize that may not be so easy. How Krishna's energies are personal. How Vimala, Karshi, all these different energies are all personalities. Just like it's not so easy to realize that Mother Ganga is a person. Because we're not on that level of perception. But at least we should understand the Lord in the heart is a person. And that he's personally directing his energies. And one day we'll see how his energies are also persons. Okay, we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Grandhara Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.